Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
For the mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Crossroad broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jackson. Jacksonville, Florida. We want you to know that Crossroads Broadcast consists of professional Christian counselors who specialize in premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family issues, anger and rage, abuse and neglect. The panelist for the Crossroads Broadcast is Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, and your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Our special guest today on the Crossroads Broadcast would be none other than Miss Helen Cooper and Sister LaTanya Brown. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Wherever you may be right now, we want you to pause for just a few minutes as we go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we exalt you, we lift your name up high. Your name, God, is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, today. We thank you for this broadcast. God, we thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for every hearer, God, that's listening. Father God, from city to city, state to state, all around the United States and abroad. Father, we ask thee in the name of Jesus that someone will be blessed today. God, that lives will be changed and result, God, of this broadcast. And at this, we thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, we would like to welcome you to the Crossroads Broadcast, and we want you to know that you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Crossroads Broadcast is on the air. Yes, we've been talking about the pastor for weeks. We've been talking about forgiveness. We've been talking about domestic violence and abuse. Domestic violence is something that we need to bring your attention to. We want you to know how important it is. And sometimes people are in relationships that they don't know that they're in the midst of abuse and they're in the midst of violence. Just to recap of some of the things that we have been talking about, we want you to know that domestic violence and abuse, it can happen to anyone, regardless of their size, their gender, or their strength. Yet the problem is often overlooked. It is especially true when the abuser is take a psychological rather than a physical effect on this person. Emotional abuse is often minimized. It is often minimized, yet it leaves a deep scar and a lasting scar on the individual, that person that's being abused, that person that's being violated. So, number one, we must notice and acknowledge the warning signs of abuse. And we need to know the acceptance of abuse. And also, we need to know that when you're in a violent situation, the first step is to end the situation, end the relationship that you are in. No one should have to live in fear of the person that you are living with, of the person that you are married to. So therefore, if you recognize yourself as someone that you know who have been abused on this broadcast, we want you to call 1-800-799-7233, and you can get help. A little more on recapping what we've been discussing is that domestic abuse is also known as spousal abuse. It occurs when one person that is in an intimate relationship, if they're in a marriage, and it tries to dominate or control that other person. You may be that person that's in a relationship. You may be that person that has been abused, or you may be that person that is being violated. I'm telling you that domestic abuse, it also includes physical violence as well. And that is when it is called domestic violence. violence. Domestic violence also is used for the only the purpose of the one purpose is to gain control and maintain control of that person that they are abusing. Yes, that the abuser does not play fair. He does not play fair, whether it's a he or she. Remember we said it doesn't matter what the gender is, that person does not play fair. The abuser use fear, guilt, shame. They intimidate that person. They intimidate to wear you out, whoever you may be, and to keep you under his or her thumb. The abuser may also threaten you. Have you ever been threatened? And if they may then even hurt you, or either hurt those that are around you. Listen, domestic violence and the person that do the abusing, they do not discriminate. They don't care. They don't care who they discriminate against or who they come against. If you're in that relationship, that just let you know that they're not looking out for your benefit, whether you're black, white, yellow, whoever you may be, whatever the gender is, it does not discriminate. So it happens to heterosexual couples as well as the same-sex couples. And it can occur. It can occur in any age range, whether it's whatever the background, the economical level it is. So here we are. Here on the Crossroad Broadcast, we want to bring attention to what is happening. And if you've been following us down through the last 3 or 4 weeks, you've been seeing how important it is and some things that we are going to bring to the forefront to you as we discuss this important topic on domestic violence and abuse. But today, we're getting ready to introduce one of our special guests, who is Miss Helen Hooper. She is the founder of Latest Choice Program for Girls. Latest Choice is a crisis and individual and resource center, which is located here in Jacksonville, Florida, at EWC, which is Edwards College, which is located on Kings Road. Miss Helen Hooper, also I may add, is a regular panelist on the Breakthrough Broadcast, which is broadcast every Saturday at 4 p.m. on the Blog Talk Radio with your host, yours truly, Dr. Mary McCoy. We would like to welcome to the Crossroad Broadcast, Miss Helen Hooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to all our listeners, bless you, to the panelists, and to the broadcast family. Wanted to say hello and thank you for inviting me, Dr. McCoy, to be on the show. And when she asked me to do this, I was also glad to do it. God has really, truly brought me through some horrible situations. First of all, I was not raised in a home where there was domestic violence. My mother and my father did not do that in front of us. They did not. My father did not fight my mother. He did not put his hands on my mom. He was a loving father. He was a caring father. And my mother and we, I never saw that. But as I grew up, first of all, I got married very, very young, and I was 18, thinking that I'm going to be happy, and you know, this is what I'm just coming out of high school. I'm going to be happy. That did not happen. The person that I married, he and I have a son together. He was in the Navy. I didn't see these traits until later because I didn't have any knowledge of domestic violence. I didn't see that. I didn't grow up with it. So I was unlearned about it. I was untaught about it. I was very naive to domestic violence. But going through my marriage, I married at an early age, but I God was with me. I can see he had his hand on my life all the time. This man, first of all, he got me off for my family, and if you know anything, any lady, anyone who knows anything about domestic violence, isolation is a really big part of domestic violence. These are some red flags that you should see, that you should look for, and if a man is is dominance and humiliation and isolation and threats. And isolation was the first thing that happened. So when we moved into our apartment, he hadn't been in the Navy, I had to go where my husband was. There came a time when he was critiquing my clothes and my friends, and he this jealousy that he had, and it came to the point where he did start hitting me. I can remember the first time that he hit me, it shocked me so because, again, I wasn't used to that. I had never seen my father hit my mother, but I wasn't used to that. But he hit me. He slapped me in my face because he thought that there was a man at my job that was talking to me a little bit too much. I was getting friendly with a little bit too much. And we got into words about it, and I was, me being the age that I was, I'm like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He got all into an uproar. His temper was horrible. And that's when I started seeing traits. I didn't know it was domestic violence then, but I started seeing traits of him, his temper and his anger and his jealousy took him into this rage. And he hit me for the first time, and I did not know what to do. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell my dad. I didn't tell anybody. For one thing, I was ashamed. Because this man, I'm a grown woman, and at that age I had the sense enough to know I cannot stay in this relationship with him. I remember him taking off from work. He was in the Navy, but he took leave. After a while, after the choking and the beating, not wanting me to be around anybody, even my family, he took off. He dropped me off at work one morning, and then he came to pick me up, and my son was not in the car with him. Little to my knowledge, I asked him, where's my son? He said that he had taken him to his mother's house. Okay. But when I got home, all my son's things were gone, and he took him to his mother's house in another city. His furniture was gone, everything. He said he was going to lock me in the house until I made up my mind or changed my mind about leaving him or divorcing him. This man was horrible to me. I mean, he was going to rage, just punching his fist into the wall, making holes in the wall, holding me down on the floor, telling me that my parents didn't love me. I mean, these were all signs I look back now that I see that he was doing. And then, make a long story short, I did get out of that relationship. I stayed single for a while. But 7 years later, 8 years later, I married. I met another man. And 2 years after that, we got married. And this, I stayed in that relationship. When I divorced him, I had been married to him for 19 years. This was the worst relationship I could have gotten myself into as a woman. Even though at an early age I was in that abusive relationship, I was thinking this is going to be different. I married the same exact man that I had been married to when I was 18. He hid it very well. And when we got married, it all came out. And I was just thinking, over the years, God has brought me from so far. Us being women and women of God have preservation. There is, I will tell every woman that I know, there is a strength inside each woman that God puts there, and it resonates and it comes out when you're in these kind of situations. A woman that is not strong enough, she will either die in these relationships or she will lose herself. Because he's so dominant, an abuser is so dominant over her, she will lose herself, and he will have her exactly where he wants her. That's what dominance, humiliation, thinking she's nothing. And in this relationship, of course, I brought my children in because I had children from a previous marriage, so I brought my children in. This man was an alcoholic, and when he went into rages, he would tear up the household. He would make sure that we didn't sleep the whole entire night. And sometimes when he came home in those rages, I was the object of his affection. He just wanted, he fixated on me. And after a while being married to him, I used to ask him, do you even like women? Because he was so angry with me all the time. It's like he could not stand the sight of me. And I remember one time, we had been married for years and years. I mean, he used to come home and he just drunk on Fridays. He just used to get drunk on Fridays. And it was just awful because he would come in and I would be every name in the book. One time he hit me, and I kid you, he hit me so hard, I almost blacked out. And he came home just because he was in a rage, just because he wanted to do this. This is what he did. Again, I didn't tell my family right away because I was ashamed again. And this happened time after time after time. I can remember him calling the police on me, filing false police reports, having the police put me and my children out of the house. I can remember him doing all sorts of things. I can remember him even, I walked in the room one time when he was pouring something in my drink. I couldn't see what it was, but God had me to walk in just in time to look in a mirror and see him behind me pouring something in my cup. And when I confronted him about it, of course, he got mad. I didn't drink it, of course, because I saw him. God had me to see him. God covered me through this whole entire marriage. So domestic violence is nothing that is to be played with or taken lightly, because a woman can lose her life. The God was with me. I had a foundation, and I've always had a foundation as a little girl. My parents taught me. My parents took me to church. My parents, I was always in church, so I had a foundation. I had a relationship with God. But there are some women out there who don't have that relationship with God, who don't know how to get help, who don't even know who to go to talk to. You go to the person that you trust the most, that will not go back, don't have any dealings with him, that you can trust to get help. The last straw with this man was, he was drunk one night he was just out of it totally. And the Holy Spirit woke me up and said, get up. The whole house was open. It was exposed. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, going on 5 o'clock in the morning. My whole house was open, and me and my kids were in there sleeping. I didn't know where he was. He was across the street somewhere, I don't know, drinking or whatever. But I got up, and just as I caught up, he came in the house. And he was just drunk, talking out of his head, cursing me out. He was trying to hit me. Of course, I was staying out of his way, so he couldn't hit me. But he went out the front door. And when he went out the front door, I don't know if he saw me walking towards the door. I was just going to lock it. But when I got to the front door, he ran as fast as he could and kicked that door in. And I was standing behind that door. And I got the brunt of that whole door in my face. And nobody can tell it unless I show them and I tell them that door split me from my lip all the way up to under my nose. I had a hickey on my head, a knot on my head as big as an egg. And when my son, which saw all this, called the police, they got angry. The man called his sergeant got angry. Of course, they put him in jail. But I was saying this, I could have lost my life, because the officer kept asking me, did I lose consciousness? And I did not lose consciousness. This is just one incident out of hundreds that I went through, having to go to court and stand up in front of judges and humiliate myself, telling them what he had done to me, how he had hit me, how he had pulled my hair, how I, you know, I had black eyes, how, you know, scars and scrapes and cuts, how I had to stand up in front of people numerous times, and I had to do this. So I'm telling every woman out there that is listening, domestic violence is nothing to take lightly. I mean, if he's dominant over you, these are red flags. Humiliation, isolation, threats, intimidation, these are things to get you on his territory. And once he gets you there, it's a mental thing. It's not, domestic violence is not only physical, it comes with physical, it's mental, it's emotional. If he can tear you down, if he can tear down a woman's spirit, if he can take her spirit and just crush it, he almost has her where he wants her. There is no way, if she is not strong enough to leave that relationship, that she will get out with her life or herself. And it's not only only women. If they have children, it trickles down to the children. It affects the children, especially if there's a young man in that house and seeing his father or a mother's living boyfriend, if he's beating their mother. I've been through it. I lived it. I've slept in my car with my kids on occasions because it was so chaotic. At home, we couldn't stay there at night. I put my kids in the car with blankets and pillows in the back seat and rode around asking God, what am I going to do? I cannot go home. My family's not in North Carolina. My family lives in Florida. He took us to North Carolina and got us isolated, like I said, so he could do whatever he wanted to do. And he did that for 19 years. But the final star, God gave me the victory in everything that I went through. He was building me and strengthening me for a time as this. Now I can tell my story to women that need to hear it, to get out, to get help, to get them their children, to protect their children. I thought I was protecting my kids by saying, but I know that I did. I know that I'm a good mother. I know that. But I look back, and I should have got my kids out earlier because some of the things that they saw affected them in some areas of their life. So if you're listening, domestic violence, if you're in it, if you have a husband that is abusing you, pushing, shoving, talking down to you, being condescending, just being just humiliating you. This is a form of domestic violence. These are red flags. When you find a controlling man, you find an abuser. That's because they want control. It's all about control. And if he can control your life, he will. You cannot give him the power. God put a strength inside of women for us to survive. And that's what I want the women to know that is listening to the show today. You don't have to be there. There is help. Go to God. Get a relationship with God. Ask him to give you strength to get through this. He did it for me, and he would do it for you. I was in it for 19 years. And I got out, and I'm a survivor, and I know that God brought me through, and I am all the better for it. I'm stronger for it. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Helen Cooper, for sharing with us, telling her story, her life story of what happened to her in a domestic violence and abusive relationship. You are listening to the Crossroad broadcast. If you would like help, if you're in that type of situation that you have heard Ms. Cooper talk about on today, we want you to call the 1-800-799-7233. No, you don't deserve to live in that type of state. You need to know that you are valuable and that no one needs to abuse you in the manner that you have been abused. The bottom line is abusive behavior is never acceptable, whether it's coming from a man or whether it's coming from a teenager, a woman, or an older adult. You need to feel that you are valuable. You need to feel that you are valuable and that you are respected and that you are safe. So if you recognize any of these signs or any of the things that have been happening in your home or in your life, you need to get some help. Domestic abuse often escalate from threats. You know, there are times when a male or female may threaten you, but it sometimes is escalated from threats and verbal abuse to violence. As Ms. Hoover has just told you what happened to her in her relationship. So therefore, we want you to know how important it is for you to get some help. So at this time, we have another guest that's going to be coming to the forefront, and she's going to tell us about a domestic abusive relationship that she was in. She is Ms. LaKanya Brown, and she is the host of Beauty for Ashes. So we would like to take this opportunity to welcome her to the Crossroad broadcast, Ms. Tanya Brown.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. First, giving honor to God, who is truly the head and the strength of my life, you and all of the panel guests, Sister Helen Cooper, who just shared her story. As she just stated, I, too, got married at a young age, at the age of 20 years old. And after being married for 20 years, that marriage ended because we were young and going through different little things, and we got a divorce. So I decided that I will not give up on love. So even after that divorce, I met someone else, and we got married. And, you know, going from just being happily married to hearing words of endearment such as sweetheart, baby, and pumpkin, and sweetie, and just all of the nice words of endearment, those words changed to everything but a child of God, for better words, what this calls. And after going through that, of course, being married, and you desire, you know, some women desire to have children. So I desired to have kids, and my husband, he wanted another child. He had three children from a prior marriage, and he wanted kids from me. So I'm trying to get pregnant, and there was a particular incident wherein I did get pregnant, and unfortunately, I had an ectopic pregnancy. And this particular time, we're at the doctor's office, and, you know, the doctor's checking me out, and he didn't see anything in the uterus. So, of course, he said, well, we'll test you a little bit further. And after the next test, the doctor says, okay, well, we're going to say that this is an ectopic pregnancy, and we'll give you and your husband an opportunity to discuss how you want to end this, if whether you want to do surgery or they had another procedure that had came forth at that time. So So as soon as the doctor closed the door, as soon as the door shut, a slap went across my face. You are not trying to give me a child, my God. So now I'm in the middle of losing a child, husband going crazy. I'm like, my God, God, what do I do? And moving on from that incident, there was another particular incident. It was Valentine's Day. And my husband was a very professional man in his line of work. And he, when he got home from work that particular night, you know, I had my car ready for him and, you know, all my little specialties that I was going to give to my husband. And when he got home, I tell you, it was late because he worked late at night. So when he did get home, 12:01 a.m., instead of a nice loving Valentine's Day between my husband and I, there were six police cars in my yard after I have gotten assaulted, choked, beat down, and I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? And then to add fuel to the fire, after my husband, of course, he was arrested, and after he was arrested, my husband went to live with a family member. I'm like, my God, is this a setup to lose my mind? But then I was brought to the word of God that says that he will keep my mind in perfect peace if I keep my mind stayed on him. So there were so many nights that I tossed and I turned, and I'm like, well, what's going on now? Well, what's going on now? And, I mean, I'm talking about my support. My husband was living with my support. So I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do now? You know, so my support is his support, and, you know, so now I'm going through the divorce, the whole ordeal of the divorce, and I'm serving divorce papers to a family member's house. Imagine this, my God. So serving the divorce papers and, you know, just trying to maintain my sanity, and there were times that I was at work and, you know, I'm trying to do my work, and I'm just breaking down, and I'm leaving on lunch break, and I'm going to the church, and like, somebody got to pray for me right now, because if someone don't pray for me right now, y'all going to have to just enroll me into the Brooks or whatever rehab center, because I am losing my mind. And let me just digress a little bit. And prior to some of the other incidents that I went through, it was like the young lady was saying, the isolation, and the taking you away from your friends and, you know, just getting you to a point where it's just you and him and, you know, where you just cut off all your friends and take you away from your family members. And there were clothes that was cut up. There were household items that was broken and that was destroyed. And, I mean, it was from one thing to another. And the hardest part for me was because, as I stated before, I was married before and I did not give up on love. I went through it a little bit longer than what I should have because I'm like, I didn't want to look like a failure to society, and I didn't want to look like a failure to myself. So I sat there, and I dealt with it a little bit longer because I'm like, well, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And guess what? It did not get better. It got worse. It got to the point wherein I not only could have lost my mind, I could have lost my life through the attacks that I encountered. So I do encourage young women and young men and whoever that may be going through this to find your escape route. Get out of this. Don't think that this is okay and this is adequate behavior because it's not good behavior. So, you know, I encourage you to really, you know, just seek the face of God and get instruction as to how you're going to get out of this situation and pray for God's safety while you're in this and as you're getting your out plan in regards to this whole situation. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Tanya Brown. And we see again how domestic violence and abuse is affecting so many areas of our lives, no matter where you are, no matter the gender, where you live, it doesn't matter. It has affected so many people's lives. And we want to get the word out to you again today to let you know how important it is that you deal with it. Don't just stay in the situation that you're in. Get some help. Again, that number is to call. It's 1-800-799-7233. That number, again, is 1-800-799-7233. Did you not know that emotional abusive relationships can destroy yourself? Worse. It can lead to anxiety and depression. It also can make you feel helpless, and it also can make you feel alone. No one listen to me, no one should have to endure this type of pain. Did you not hear what Ms. Brown said, Ms. Latanya Brown and Ms. Helen Hooper, the circumstances, the situation that they had gone through and the things that they have experienced? You need to get some help. And your first step is to break free and to recognize your situation is abusive. No matter how much you think you love this person, how many times this person says they love you, if they tell you 100 times a day that they love you and they're breaking your nose, or they give you black eyes, are they trying to kill you, are they trying to isolate you, are they trying to take your family members away from you, you know now that it is a sign that you are in an abusive situation. And once you acknowledge the reality of the abusive situation, then you can get the help that you need. We just want to just tell you just a few signs. The signs are, again, I like to share, is that of abusive relationship, most telltale sign is fear of your partner. When you are afraid of the person that you are supposed to love, be in love with, be it your husband or your wife, if you are afraid of them, you are in a abusive situation. If you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around your partner, around your husband, then you are in a abusive situation. If you consistently have to watch over what you say, in particular what you say, and avoid certain things from saying certain things that your partner's going to blow up, or he's going to get so angry, or she is going to get so angry, you need to evaluate to know that you could be in an abusive situation. The chances are that this is an unhealthy and abusive situation. So you need to listen to what we are saying here today, and certainly there have been other signs that will let you know that you need some help. If you still afraid of your partner much of the time, if you even sometimes avoid certain topics out of fear of anger, certain things that you might want to talk about, you let your partner likely get so angry, they go off of the chart as the anger builds up, that person needs some help. You can't help them. Nobody can help them but God Almighty, and for them getting some help. So we don't want you to let them continue to release their frustration and their distress on you, and it could be something that could be failure at the end because of the fact that it could take your life. If you feel that you can't do anything right for your partner, if you believe that you deserve to partner, if he mistreat you, if you wonder whether or not you're the one that is crazy. Sometimes you set a situation that you even may think that you're crazy instead of him being something wrong mentally, something wrong with him. But there are so much that we have talked about in the last few weeks on domestic violence. We've talked about anger. We've talked about abusive situations. So many things that we've talked about. We've talked even about forgiveness. And there are situations of different topics that we have talked about before when we were talking about domestic violence. But there are certain other things that we have discussed that we wanted you to know that you need to know that you can be forgiven. Things that have done, that people have done to you, people have caused things to happen in your life, and you're letting those things cause you to affect your life and your health. So therefore, Dr. Gloria Pastor has been addressing those areas. She has been praying about a healing, telling you some things that are very needful for you. So at this time, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Ms. Dr. Gloria Caster to the Crossroads broadcast. Dr. Caster?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And the messages that we heard from the guests, is it Sister Cooper and Sister Brown? This forgiveness comes in real in the right time with that, because the question is, when you're being abused, you're being violated, you're being hurt by someone that you trusted, how can you forgive someone who have hurt you and who have caused pain to you? And these are people that you trust and that you put your life with. How can you so forgive them? And I'm looking at, and I'm going back to the model prayer that I used last week, and I want to go to the 14th verse. And it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But the 15th verse says, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And when we look at that, that is, could that be very easily done when you've been violated, you've been hurt, abused, and abused? How can you? Why should we not be surprised if we continue to have questions about the forgiveness of God? We cannot easily step away from the relational and emotional issues that stubbornly refuse to be put to pass. And now when we look at how it's set up, it does say, as God's word does say, it says, why does the Bible say God will not forgive us if we don't forgive one another? Because Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And that's Matthew 16 again, 14 and 15. The answer is in the context. By the statement, Jesus was not teaching the lost people how to be saved. He was teaching his own disciples how to stay in good family relationship with the Father. Now, when we look at that, I want to look at the effects of guilt. Many times we would probably say, is there something I did wrong? What did I do? How? Why did I say the wrong thing? Sometimes we begin to feel guilt and blame ourselves, and then when these things, particular things happen, you really don't feel like you want to forgive the person because you are really violated. And when we sin and refuse to come to Christ for forgiveness, guilt may express itself in a number of different ways. For instance, when we look at David, before David repented of the terrible sins of adultery and murder, he experienced physical, emotional, and spiritual anguish. In Psalms 32, 3 and 4, describing how his guilt affected him, he wrote these words, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day." Emotional. "For day and night your hands were heavy upon me spiritually. My vitally was turned into a drought of summer," physically. Here are some ways we may be affected by guilt. When it's physical, unresolved guilt may affect us physically. It usually manifests itself in one of these ways: listlessness, imagine sickness, real illness, headaches, stomach disorder, vague pains, exhaustion. If we try to run from our guilt, immersing ourselves in work or turning to sin and reckless abandonment, we will pay a price. Eventually, our bodies will force us to slow down. I want to make sure that we don't feel that we have did something wrong when somebody is abusing us. It's real. And the person themselves need help, not us. But we can get to the point to feeling like we do too. And I want to speak on one more, two more, which is emotional. Psychologists and counselors see these emotional effects of guilt as depression, anger, self-pity, feeling inadequacy, denial of responsibility. Those are the emotional feelings that we might feel when we feel effect of guilt for that it's us. And then spiritually, unresolved guilt may be the following spiritual effects on us: a sense of alienation from God. We can begin to become feeling like, God, let this happen. I don't know why he would let these things happen to me. Inability to pray, reduce fellowship with believers, and no feeling of joy. Inability to read the Bible. And then the last, and I'm going to conclude, relationships. A lack of forgiveness will have our impact on our relationship with others in these ways: irritability, blaming others, withdrawing, profuse apology, inability to relax, self-justification, refusal to accept compliments, outbursts of temper. David's entire life was affected by his guilt. It touched him physically, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. But if he cried out to God, found the assurance of forgiveness, and was able to enjoy life again, damaged but hopeful, would David have been more honorable not to seek God's forgiveness? Would he have been more respectful in his victim survivor to refuse any mercy? Would self-condemnation and suicide had been a more noble course of action, which can lead to those things when we begin to have begin to feel the self-effects of guilt of our own? So only if there is no life beyond the grave, only if the rest of us were not sinners, only if a forgiven person have nothing to offer, only if God doesn't love us enough to long for our restoration. But as the scripture shows, God loves sinners. Amen. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Laura Castor. Forgiveness is so important. There are so many medical problems that one can have as a result of not forgiving others. No matter how lame it has been, no matter how hurtful the situation could have been, God gives us an excellent example of himself, of the way that he was abused and the way that he was misunderstood and the things that they did to him for the sake of the world, for the sake of his people, those that he wanted to believe upon him and those that he wanted to be saved. I want to let you know again that you are listening to the Pulse Road broadcast. And we just want you to know today that some of the things that we've already touched on down through the weeks, and I just want to bring this to the forefront again, that if your partner, we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about domestic violence and abuse, if your partner has ever threatened to take your children away or harm them, these are some of the things that you ask yourself. Have your partner ever hurt you or threatened to kill you? You need to take it seriously. Have your partner had a bad or unpredictable, does he have a, or she has an unpredictable temper? Does your partner threaten to commit suicide if you leave them? Remember, we were talking about earlier with Colin Cooper and Latanya Brown was telling us how they put you into isolation type confinement that nobody has access per se but them. And then sometimes when a person gets, you know, a little bit tired of the situation, of being in an abusive situation, then they would say, well, you know, if you leave me, I'm going to commit suicide if you leave me. But you know there that you need to get some help from yourself and then let that person know that they need some help. If you can tell that person and let them know, you know, how much you care for them, but you care enough for them to get some help. But you need, as an individual, not to stay in a situation that you're in at that present time, because it can end in some bad results. If they force you to have a sexual type experience, I know sometimes, and I realize if a man and a woman are married, there are certain things that should be loving, should be something that they do together, and that's something with that man and that wife. But sometimes there are times when that wife or the husband may try to force that person into having sex with them. When they begin to destroy your belongings, they're cutting up your dresses, that person is cutting up your shirts, cutting up your pants, you need to know that you're in a abusive relationship. If they're trying to humiliate you, are they criticizing you, and are they putting you down? Do they treat you bad and try to embarrass you when you in front of your friends, your special relationship, or your family? Are they blaming you for their own abusive behavior? They're the one abusive that have abusive situation in their lives, something that they need to deal with. They need to get some help. But instead of them seeing where the problem is, they'll try to blame the other part, the other individual, for what they are doing. If you see that yourself in any of these, you need to make sure that you are getting some help. You see as property of sex. A lot of times that is where that person, and that's why it's always so important that when you're in a relationship, that the Word of God say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. There are some people that they are not what they seem to be on the outside. And sometimes we can't just judge people. They may look good. They may be tall. They may be tall, dark, and handsome. They may be whatever race they may be. Yet you cannot judge them. You cannot judge the way that they look or the job that they have. But we have a continually ask God, because even when you marry people and have a relationship, you know, just like one of the guests had said, that they didn't show that at the beginning. They didn't let you know who they were, but eventually, later on, they showed you who they were. So one of the things that as a counselor, I always like to say, even in a relationship, you need to wait at least about 2 years before you go into any marriage situation, so that you can be able to know that person, to know their family, to know how they treat their family, to know what you are getting into somewhat, or what you're getting into, because it always, sometimes it does not end in the way that you wish that it would. So it is so much that we need to let you know today. You need to look at your partner's behavior. Does your partner act excessively jealous? And does she act very possessive? Does he try to control you? Where are you going? What are you going to do? Do they try to keep you from seeing your friends and from family? We heard of all of this while Ms. Cooper and Sister Latanya Brown was telling us today. These are some of the same things that we are saying to you today. We're trying to let you know that how important it is for you to know the signs of abuse. And we are very thankful to the Most High God for giving us our special guests on today that they came for to share with you their life experience, their domestic violence, and their abuse, that you can get help, that you can be healed, that that other person as well can get the help that they need. So at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we want you, if you are in an abusive situation, we want you to know that there is help. We want you to know that all is not lost. We want you to know that God is on your side, and that God would never leave you, he would never forsake you, and that this is the reason why I believe that God has allowed the Crossroad broadcast to come on the air and to share with you some of the things that we are sharing with you on today. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We exalt you, we lift your name up high. We give you all of the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, we ask thee even now, Lord God, to look upon every person, God, that is in an abusive situation, God, whether it's male, whether it's female, Lord, we ask thee, God, that their eyes, God, would be open, God, today, God, that they, God, won't shut their heart and their mind and their heart, God, to things that are happening, God, around them, but God, that they'll be educated, God, that they'll know, Father God, that which they're in, and that, God, that they can get some help. Lord, I ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, God, we ask you, Lord, to move all bitterness, all strife, and the things, Lord, that the ones that have been abused, that they've gone through, they have suffered much, they've gone through much, God. And I ask you in Jesus' name to cause your healing power to be manifested upon them today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for what you have done, and God, for what you're about to do in the name of Jesus. And some of you out there that are not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We want to take this opportunity before we close this broadcast to give you an opportunity to say yes to God's will and yes to his way. The Word of God says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Word of God says that we shall be saved. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to invite him into your life. But the Word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you please repeat after me? I would like to lead you in a sinner's prayer, because we were all sinners saved by the grace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins, for all my transgressions. God, forgive me, God, for all the things that I've done and thought, all the things that I said. Lord, ask you, God, to cast all of these sins into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. God, make me that new creature in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. All things become new. And Father, I thank you and I praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we would like to thank you, our radio audience, for joining with us today on the Crossroad broadcast. Again, we would like to thank Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. Rosemary Lucio was unable to be with us on today. But we will thank our special guests, Miss Helen Cooper and Sister LaTanya Brown, for being our special guests, for opening up their lives, for sharing with others what they have gone through and God, how God heals them so that they will be able to heal others. This has been the Crossroad Broadcast. Tune in next Monday at 5 p.m. on this same station. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. God bless you, and may the blessings of God be with you now and forever.